Some unlikely teams have made the postseason recently. When will be the Pittsburgh Pirates' turn? Well, in order to answer that question, we got to bring in Ethan Smith from Locked On Pirates. This is Locked On MLB.
You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Where is your team every day? This is the daily podcast. Talk about all the Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Look out, if you've got a lower third, get a clue. You can call me Sully. I am an television producer who's been a caster for the last over a decade now. And for the last four full seasons, I've been a member of the Locked On Podcast Network. And please enjoy the show. Both shows, my pre-Locked On MLB shows. A couple about that. And the answer is you can just subscribe. They're still on. Up to the old Sully Baseball. The show is called Sully. There's over 1,500 episodes happen about baseball from 2012 until 2018. But hey, you can follow us at Locked On MLB Pods. Same handle for Instagram and Twitter. And for me, until Twitter explodes into 1,000 stars, I'm still at Sully Baseball on Twitter. And on Instagram, I'm at Sully Baseball Podcast. And as for what's that big mastodon? I spent 45 minutes to what the hell it is, and I'm going back to letter writing. But someone who will always be on my communications list, I can't get a segue into this one at all, it's Ethan Smith. Mm-hmm. Welcome back, Ethan Smith. I was trying to up with an elaborate intro for you, but here you are.
Well, Ethan Smith, being 24 Lawrence. Years old. Yeah, well, being 24 years old, you know, I did grow up on MySpace, so maybe we'll get Sully on MySpace. We'll figure that out. We'll get the old machine turned back up again.
I'm more than twice your age, so God, that's unbelievable. I'm 26 years older than you,
and yet it still feels like we've seen the same amount of winning Pirate seasons.
Yeah, well, hey, I'm old enough to remember a Pirates World Series title. That's a that is exactly, guys. I've had a nice back and forth Instagram exchange recently with Eastler, who was a member of the 90 Pirates, later an All Star with them, who is now one of these. He's been a hitting coach and is one of these people who's forgotten more baseball than you and I will ever know. So I'm crossing my fingers, hoping to get him to be on the show and maybe have you show up and ask him what's it like to win a World Series title as a member of the Pirates. Hey, before we get going here, I'm going to address a couple things. A couple of people posted stuff on the YouTube channel. Follow us on YouTube. I was talking about my love. I think base stealing needs to come back if we're going to be really talking about picking up the pace of play. One way to pick up pace of play is to make the game exciting when that guy gets on first base, or if they're going to run. I did also talk about speedsters, and rest in peace, Chucky Carr, who was a big speedster, original Florida Marlins of 1993. Sam McBride, a listener, says, what about base stealers is that when they're on, it creates a three-way dynamic between the runner, the pitcher, and the catcher. Watching those three try to outsmart and outperform there is a really fun dynamic that doesn't exist in station baseball. I completely agree. And if you add in the first baseman, the shortstop, the opposing manager, when to pitch out, it becomes a six-way dynamic. And if you add the batter to swing or not, it becomes a seven-way dynamic. I can't agree with you more, Sam. In fact, when I started reading your comment, I kept thinking, oh, it's more than three. You got all these. And you're right. When you had someone, and this was a point I was bringing up, when you had, there was a whole category of player, which were the speedsters, the Otis Nixons, the Kenny Lawtons, Chucky Carr. I mean, I'm not even bringing up Ricky Henderson, Reigns, or Paul Molitor, or each of the Hall of Famers. You know, the Vince Colemans of the world, whose job, Mookie Wilson, Willie Wilson, Lance Johnson of the White Sox was that way for a long time. You had these players whose job it was to wreak havoc on the base paths. And once they're on the base paths, there are whole videos where you see how Ricky Henderson is in a pitcher's head, the way that he pitches, the number of times they throw over and everything. And it is a fun cat and mouse game, especially when everyone, he's going. And if we're, and the point I made the other day, which was, yeah, it's a risk to steal a base. Aren't risks fun? Isn't that why we, one of the things you should, a game for? It's like, if these people got involved in NASCAR, okay, hands at 10 and 12, make sure you don't go limit, signal, yield. It's like, no, the risk is part of the fun. And you're right, Sam, it's beyond just the physical, the mental game is great.
And you have to agree. And even most recently, as a guy like being younger with my, the later part of this where you've seen base stealing leave, Billy Hamilton was that guy for quite some time. I mean, Billy Hamilton was literally the modern day version of this. Anytime as a Pirates fan, you saw Billy Hamilton get on base as a Cincinnati Red, you were shitting your pants. Like, you were like, okay, what's going to happen now? He's going to go station to station on his own.
Well, now we got an explicit rating on this show, so thanks a lot, Ethan. But it's the only way to describe it.
Comes out
as someone who grew up in the 80s, that was sort of brand of the game. Like, you had an entire league filled with base stealers. And part of it, there were these wider, the cookie-cutter parks had the turf, so you had to have fast run on those fields. Also, the Cardinals said, hey, wait a minute, what if we have a whole team full of jackrabbits and one slugger, and the you get outliers, the way the Ichiro outlier during the steroid, like, what do we do with a guy who's bunting his way on base and stealing? Like, yeah, it's called baseball. And you saw with the 2015 Kansas City Royals, who really recently on team speed, what it also does is it gets the defense on their heels a little bit. And when the defense is on their heels, they're concentrating something other than that. What happens? Errors happen. Strange things happen. Look at the way the Royals beat the Mets in each one of those games. It was always some first to third. That amazing play where Hosmer, who's not even one of the jackrabbits of the team, heard from it on the ground out first, a game-tying run in the game, adds to the pace of play. It increases the pace of play. And I'm screaming this from the mountaintops, everyone who tries to, we can eliminate time here, eliminate time there. Time of game and play are not the same thing. Just like length of movie and excitement of a movie aren't such. I've seen boring minute movies, and I think Mad Max Fury Road is 2.5 hours long. Okay? You have an it's not the same thing. By the way, if you've never seen Mad Max Fury Road, please watch it. It's such an incredible.
Oh yeah!
Welcome to Locked On.
I agree.
Yeah,
Welcome to Locked On movie reviews. I mean, Sully could probably do a whole 3-week synopsis of every baseball movie ever made, and could probably do episodes on it every single day for almost a month. It wouldn't surprise me at all. But where's my Pirates movie?
Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
No, I'm saying, where's my pirate movie? Yeah, like, come on, guys. Great franchise, Don't have a movie yet, but the Cleveland, a team that doesn't even exist anymore, has a movie, Sully?
I know. Well, there should be a Rick Clemente biopic. Why not? Yeah. Well, I talked about the buying championships, which I think I'm doing. By the way, listen on Thursday. On Thanksgiving, I am dropping a podcast. So what I hope you do is you all gather around the table, pack the stuffing, and put on MLB, because I'm going to be talking about the Conga Championship. And the episode was just dropping on Thursday. I go into detail about why, remove the stigma around buying a championship. That title. Good. That's what you want your owners to do. You want your owners to buy a title. You want your owners to dig deep in their pockets and start filling in the holes. Panorama Jazz Band and Panorama Brass, who's one of my most faithful listeners on YouTube, big Baltimore Orioles guy, says, regarding buying a championship, does that not tend to haves and haves not scenario where we see the same teams dominate every year? All market fan, I really dig the art of big players. I feel like you, I could assemble a winning team if we had an unlimited budget, but it takes deeper wisdom and culture of baseball to develop a winning franchise at a limited budget. Okay, I understand what you're saying. First of all, I don't think there are have-nots in baseball. Every owner of every team is sitting on a giant, as to paraphrase Jackie Cation, a gigantic Scrooge McPile of money. There are no posts. There are no people who go, we're not scraping, we're just scraping by. They all have money. They all could spend money. So there's no really, there's no have and haves not. It's in terms of the same teams dominating every year, since 2009, so that's all of 2010s and this decade, half of the franchise have made the World Series. There are 30 teams, 15 different teams have participated in the World Series. Series called the New York Yankees, or the Angels for that matter, or the Pirates.
Well,
but and you see small teams that cry about have-nots. Sure, they can win back-to-back pennants like the Royals did then, or they could reach into their pockets and say, hey, why don't we spend some money? Kind of like the who didn't make it to the World Series in that stretch. Relevancy, which they were, to, hey, they made it to the NLCS and are pretty stacked to go. You know, yes, good to develop players and anything, but also spend money to keep those developed players hanging around.
Very true.
So look, it. I always defend the teams that spending money is keeping players around. I mean, look at you as a huge Pirate fan. How many former Pirates were all over this postseason? I mean, it got to
very
be
true. Ridiculous. And going back to that question, even taking a step further, I'd love to know the number on the amount of teams since 2009 that have made the postseason. I mean, it has to be pretty high because, I mean, you're thinking about the Athletics, you're thinking about the Tigers, you're thinking about the Royals, you're thinking about the whole AL Central for sure. I know Baltimore was in there, so the whole AL East has been there. The NL Central has all been there.
I think
the only two teams since 2009 that haven't are the Mariners and the Phillies, right?
I'll make it easy for you. Since 14, if you were including the season, since 2014, the only two teams that haven't made it, the Tigers and the Angels. And one of them is notoriously wow. Big spending. So since 2014, let's just make it simple. Let's say it's simple for the same teams dominating every year. In the last 10 seasons, all 30 teams have made the postseason at least once. I mean, there you go. There you go. And I think all of them have advanced in one way, shape, or another at least once. They've all made it to the division series.
If we're counting 2014, no. Pirates never made it to the divisional series.
I said in the last 10 seasons. The last 10 seasons, every single major league team had a team in the division series. That includes the Marlins because they did it in 2020. That includes Seattle because they did it this year. Pittsburgh did it in 2013. So, again, there's some myths that don't survive scrutiny. And that the haves and have-nots is the haves and have-nots, and it's the same teams dominating. There are have-nots, and there have been years in the last 10 years where the Yankees and the Yankees, the Cubs, the Red Sox, certainly the Mets, have missed the playoffs completely. 2014, neither the Yankees nor the Red Sox nor made the postseason. the Pirates did. So, I mean, look at, I understand what you're saying. It's just not based in reality. And look at, I know teams like that security and that everything's going to be safe with their team. But sometimes you got to spend a little money, and sometimes you need to realize, hey, we got to take some chances here. But you don't have to take chances with your house, and you can't certainly make money by using SimpliSafe. You know that over the holidays, burglaries and package theft spike nationally. It's at SimpliSafe Home Security are offering 50 their award-winning security system so that more families can feel secure this holiday season. Or system safe for half the day and enjoy advanced greater peace of mind this holiday season. You know, simply the best home security system by U.S. News and what for a third year in a row. In an emergency, 24/7 professional monitoring agents use Fast Protect technology exclusively from SimpliSafe to capture Chris and verify that the threat is real so you can get priority police response. SimpliSafe is a whole home security system with advanced sensors for every room, window, security inside and out, and smarter ways to detect motion than alert you when a threat is real. Even hazard sensors that detect floods and other threats to your home. With top-rated SimpliSafe app, stay in complete control of your system anytime, anywhere, arm, disarm, unlock for a guest, and access your cameras or adjust systems. Don't miss your chance. Dig on the only security that I recommend. Any new SimpliSafe system at SimpliSafe.com/MLB today. This is their biggest discount of the year, so don't wait. That's SimpliSafe.com/LockedOnMLB. There's no safe like SimpliSafe. Okay. We talked about teams that didn't make the playoffs and were didn't really have any hope, and their fans knew they weren't going to see a postseason. That brings us to the Pirates. Ethan Smith, the 2022 Pirates, as led by manager Derek Shelton, GM Ben Cherington, they lost 100 games. Lost 100 games. They had one of the worst attendance in baseball. Their top players, the Cabrian Hayes, the Brian Reynolds, and the arrival of O'Neill Cruz, that was a lot of fun. But it was a disappointing season if you hope that the team was getting forward.
Yeah, and going into this year, there were some people, including myself, that had that little slight thought process that, oh, they could get to 70 wins. They could get to maybe 72 wins and have like a 72-90 year. And it didn't happen. And there were a lot of factors to that. I mean, you look at Yoshi Tsutsugo, Hoy Park, Josh Van Meter, the list goes on and on of negative war players that they were playing with no business being there. And I've also been on record on my own show and probably on this show and multiple shows as saying if O'Neill Cruz would have been on this roster from day one on opening day, he probably turns the tide for you for at least three or four games because I believe his war was above a 2. So do the math. They're not a 100 loss team if he plays for the entire year. He's also probably a very heavy rookie of the year candidate if he plays for the whole year. But everybody knew going into 2022 that this team was not going to be good. There was no hint about, oh, they could be like the Orioles, which nobody also ever expected either. The Orioles are just, in my opinion, the Orioles, with the way that their prospect pool worked, they were a year ahead of what the Pirates are. I'm not here to tell you the Pirates are going to have a season like the Orioles did in 2023, but this team is definitely going to be better in 2023 with the arrivals of Andy Rodriguez, Quinn Priester, Henry Davis, Leover Piguero, Matt Gorski. I mean, the list goes on and on and on of guys that are going to come up here again and play, and you've already seen them make two trades this offseason, one being for G-Man Choi from the Rays and their fire sale of whatever they were had going on, I guess, cutting payroll, and then trading Kevin Newman to the Cincinnati Reds for Dowry Moretta, who's a guy who Reds fans were very upset that they got rid of him because he's a 26-year-old relief pitcher who can hit 100.
Yeah, so tell
are
us
the Pirates
about
done? If you listen to Ben Cherington, no.
Break the... I want you more in a little detail of the trade with those of us who may not be as familiar with the players involved in that. Tell listeners about the Cincinnati and how it fits in with the long-term strategy with this team.
So if you listen to my show yesterday, me, Jeff Carr, and Stephen Offenbaker of Locked On Reds talked about this trade in length. They traded Kyle Farmer, needed a replacement at shortstop. The Pirates have 100% went into O'Neill Cruz being their guy at that shortstop position. So that's really where I think this fell, is with the logjam the Pirates have in the middle infield right now of Rodolfo Castro and O'Neill Cruz, two guys that are definitely going to play, and it's going to be hard to bench either of them for anybody. Kevin Newman was just kind of the odd man out. The Pirates have had pitching depth issues the last couple of years, which has been large part why they've had 100 losses the last 2 years. So that plays a big part in the fact of why they went and got Moretta. Moretta, again, 2021 had a really, really good stretch in AAA where he was not even allowing hits at certain times for like months on end. So we'll see what that works with that, but it's not the biggest trade in the world to worry about for either team. I think it was more of just the Reds need a shortstop, the Pirates need a relief pitcher, let's make this deal happen.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, you got yourselves a relief pitcher who's, 26, 27 years old. Had an up in season, to be sure, but is someone with talent and with ability. And this is how he got his scenery will vary. But you hope it's like you want to build your team with guys who are like, okay, he's had his growing pains and let's see how he does full time in a staff which had, you know, Bednar had a good year, but who else was good in that bullpen? I mean, it was pretty, the pickings were pretty slim there. DeJong was okay, but Bednar was really DeJong was the, is he, he's so anonymous, I didn't remember how to pronounce his name. But but Bednar, I did know. He had a good year and he made the All Star team this year as the Pirate, a lone All Star.
Yes. And also, a lot of people forget that David Bednar was injured for 2 months this year. So that also could have played a major role in why this team was, again, a 100-loss team. Of course, closers are not big on bad teams because they're hardly winning in the first place. But there were definitely moments where you were like, okay, the Pirates are up 3-2. Most notoriously, in Yankee Stadium in September when Judge hits number 60 and they were winning 5-2, I believe. Yeah, David Bednar would have been very nice to have in that scenario.
Yeah. Bednar came over in what was that? I know it was with that was the big huge weird deal with Mets and the Pirates and Padres. So it said they wound up having Joe Musgrove go to San Diego, and I think I was in that deal. I think I got sent to the Pirates in that deal. I came to court. It was one of those. It was at the end. It was so complicated. It was to unravel there. Tell me your thoughts.
It was funny.
Yep.
Go ahead.
No. Keep. I think there's a slight delay in each of our signal here. So
it's all good. But I was saying it was funny when that trade happened because when Bednar got traded here and Musgrove got traded to San Diego, they're both from those areas. So I did think that was a very interesting little tidbit to the trade. And obviously, both have had success in their new places with Musgrove getting that major deal from San Diego. Bednar now being an all-star for the Pittsburgh Pirates in his native Pittsburgh. It worked out for the most part, I would say.
Yeah. I'm in. What do you think of Shelton? For those of you who's not as close to the Pirates as you may be, Derek Shelton is the manager of the Pirates. He was brought in. This is, I think, he's going to start his fourth season with a team. Obviously, the first was COVID, and you kind of grain of salt. He improved from 2021 because 101 loss team in 2020. There were 100 loss team in 2020. So by this rate, in about 30 years, they'll be a playoff contender.
I didn't lose you, and I lost. Oh, and he's back. I think I lost you there for a second, Sully.
Oh, because
we're flipped now. Yeah, we're flipped now. I am now Sully Baseball. There we go.
There we go. That's better. Did you hear boy, the Pirates had a collapse, and now the Pirate Locked On Pirates has had a collapse.
No, but I did hear your question.
Okay, so tell me your thoughts on Shelton, because I don't have a handle on him. He just is a generic dude managing them right now.
Pretty much. His main issues that he's had is over the last 2 years, you heard me mention earlier talking about the pitching depth issues that the Pirates have had. A lot of that has been because the bullpen has been driven into the ground so much early in the year because he will not let starters go after five or six innings. He kind of changed that down the stretch. He let Mitch Keller and Rowanzi go a little bit into the seventh inning, even the eighth inning at times. But on a consistent basis, he has been a guy who does not let his starters go past five or six innings. So that's something that's going to have to change here pretty soon. Because as you saw earlier with looking at the bullpen currently constructed, it's not a very good bullpen. But they're working on fixing it. They're working on getting another starter. Apparently, Sean Manaea has been the main guy that they've been targeting as that starter. So we'll see how that pans out. But that's his biggest gripe. And then people will get upset at Shelton for his lineup construction. I do not, because I know that he is not the sole reason why the lineup is being constructed the way it is weeks in advance. That's just because of how they need to see player development play itself out. That's not really on him. That's probably the front office telling him, hey, this guy needs to get in for this amount of games and this amount of time so we could see what we're getting from him. But I think you described him perfectly. It's a generic MLB manager that hasn't had a team to really grade him yet. I mean, none of his teams have been good enough, in my opinion, to tell you really how good or bad of a manager he is, because by July or August, he's managing, but he's not really managing much.
Yeah. I mean, you see a team that's that young and have just that many parts that should probably be still in AAA. It's just, I'm sorry to be mean, but it makes him kind of a surefire bet to be 100 team. If you're go to Bet Online, which remains the for your sports betting info, news, stats, and analysis. We get the list of odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out, football to basketball, soccer and esports. The World Cup is there too. We've got it all. BetOnline.net. If you love sports podcasts, and I know I do, you'll find those at BetOnline as well. We're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, here the game starts. We're here talking with Ethan Smith. Now, look at a couple of things to throw out there in this final segment. Henry Davis is doing in their farm system. Tamar Johnson is brewing farm system. Those are the two prospects I know a little bit about. I have MLB.com. Their top five are Davis, Tamar, Quinn Priester, Leo Ver Lover Peguero, Nick Gonzalez. Again, Tamar Johnson, Davis are two prospects that I've heard of and know about and are potential starting. If you're going to be the John the Baptist of Locked On MLB and be proclaiming the next great Pirate, who are you excited about who's brewing up in the farm system right now?
Has to be Andy Rodriguez. It has to be. He was MLB.com's prospect catcher of the year. The guy was absolutely nuts. He could play catcher, outfield, and potentially first base, depending on how they want to move forward with it. So I would be very shocked if he does stick a catcher with Henry Davis being there. Now, there's no issue with having Henry Davis and Eddie Rodriguez play catcher. I mean, look at what Toronto does with Alejandro Kirk, Danny Jansen, and all the catchers they've had over the last couple of years. But I would bet on the fact that Eddie will probably move to another position because, as far as I'm concerned, if you're not a pitcher, you are positionless until you get to the major league level. And then they figure out where to put you based off of how well you play defensively, how well you hit. And for a Pirates team, as you've mentioned again, that has a lot of pieces that should arguably still be in AAA. If you were hitting the baseball with efficiency, you are going to play somewhere in the field or DH. That is going to happen on this team. If you were batting 250, 260, and you were like posting like a 320 OPS or something up in that area that's decent, you're going to start on this team. And Eddie Rodriguez is the kind of guy that I think could come in, make an immediate impact on this team, be it playing catcher, be it playing first base, be it playing the outfield, wherever he has to play, the Pirates are going to find somewhere to do it. Then you look at Quinn Priester. He's had his moments. Reminds me a lot of Mitch Keller, sadly, in terms of his moments in the minor leagues. And we saw Mitch Keller this past year finally put it all together after about 3 or 4 years in the league. But if you look at his service time, he's really only been up here for a year with injuries and the COVID season and all that. There's a lot to look forward to with this prospect pool in 2023. And it's names that, even like you said, you might not know. Leover Peguero is a guy that's going to stick behind O'Neill Cruz at shortstop or even play a little bit of second. Nick Gonzalez is a guy that's going to probably slide into that second base slot at some point. Termar Johnson's a lot farther down the road, but the kid is awesome. And as I was already said, he thinks that the Pirates are on a good track, especially when he gets here in a couple years for him to be the final piece and not the piece. So I would be very surprised if people didn't see the possibility of what Atlanta did this year with Strider and Harris. I would say, unless their service time is manipulated, even though it probably will be because that's how the Pirates operate, I would not be surprised to see both Eddie Rodriguez and Quinn Priester get Rookie of the Year votes in 2023.
Okay, I'm going to just, and you and I have talked about this before. My one is the insanity of manipulating playing time. Here's how many spots are there on the roster? It's 26, right? 26 spots on the roster.
26.
If you are a major league team, this I can't believe this has to be said out loud. If you're a major league team, you have to put your health, you know, they have to be healthy, okay? But your best 20 players of your organization have to be on the major league roster. Doing anything else is, what are we doing? You know, because if you're going to get to where we're going to service time manipulation, no. If they're worth signing in 4 or 5 years, sign them then. I don't understand where a team, you know, like the Mariners were bragging about doing that a few years ago. The Pirates keep doing that. I'm going to say something mean and a cliche. How's that working out for you? How's that strategy working out for you? It's not. Not putting the best product on the field and putting a win-loss, you know, how many 100 losses seasons have the Pirates had recently? I think the answer is a bunch. I know the last two. You know, if you keep piling, I mean, yes, you're going to get good draft picks and everything like that. But eventually the whole, hey, let's not play our best player strategy. At some point, you got to say, yeah, I don't think that's working. Let's try something new. Like,
yeah, I mean, player. I couldn't agree with you. I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, you guys saw me in the Locked On MLB group chat, the greatest place to ever talk about baseball. The whole first half of the year last year, when O'Neill Cruz was not on this roster, it was because of he needs to learn in AAA. He needs to fix things in AAA with his batting stance. He needs to do this. The best place for a player to do that is at the major league level. Because when is he ever going to learn it if he's not there? That's where I say, like, it's like for me with, like, I work at a coffee shop, right? When I first started working there, what are they going to do? Tell me not to come to work for a week and then come back that week and figure out everything? No, They're going to have me sit there and train on it and make mistakes that I will then learn from later. That's why I said O'Neill Cruz being in AAA last year and any big prospect across all of baseball being in AAA does not help them. Because I do think people forget how big the jump from AAA to the major league level is. It's massive. It is a huge difference. Go to your local, if you have a local AAA baseball team that you can easily go watch this spring, go watch them play and then go watch your MLB team play in person and tell me how different it looks. It looks completely different.
I think what you said earlier in the show about Shelton, that he's saying people were angry about him about roster construction. Well, that's being brought from on high, saying, well, we're developing this person, developing that person there. So if you're treating season like it's a development league, then let your best players develop. Wouldn't it be better for, if you're trying to figure that out, than have O'Neill Cruz and then everyone else who's, you know, whether it's Davis or whomever it is in coming up through the pipeline, are you better off bringing up almost a year too early and having them cut their teeth and get their butterflies out and get all the, you know, learn from being on a major league clubhouse? I mean, I'm not saying, you know, rush them when they're not ready. But if they're ready, I mean, again, it boils down to that thing I said. The best 26 players in your organization who are healthy have to be on your roster. Now there could be a situation where they're reluctant to bring up someone because they're this totally obscure player who's like was the 58th round pick and he's having a good year, but is it for real? Find out. You know, but if it's a top prospect and we want to manipulate their service time, get them on the team. Get all your best players on the team as soon as they are ready. You know, instead of trying to save $7.50 and get another 100 loss season.
Yeah, I will say going into this year, though, for Andy Rodriguez, the guy I mentioned earlier, that is going to be arguably to me the biggest name that we're going to see. The 26-man roster right now, while the 40-man roster is at the catcher position, Ali Sanchez and Andy Rodriguez. That's it. Mm-hmm. Roberto Perez is a free agent who has been talked about as coming back. Tyler Heineman is gone. Jason DeLay is gone. I mean, at that point, if that's all you're going to do at catcher and you don't make another addition at the catcher position, how do you keep Andy Rodriguez in the minor leagues at that point? Because then you only have two catchers. It's like you have to have two catchers on an MLB roster. So thankfully for their own benefit, the Pirates might be forced into putting one of Henry Davis or Andy Rodriguez on the 26-man roster just due to the fact that they need a catcher on the roster. Now, of course, it is, November 22nd as we're recording this. There's still way too much time to think about what additions the Pirates haven't made, what additions they will make, because that's why winter meetings happen in about 2 weeks, when you're going to start seeing the likes of Carlos Correa and Aaron Judge and all the big names start to float around on who they're going to go to. And the Pirates are going to make some moves in there, too, that I think are going to be surprising to people. Because, as I said, I've heard from sources close to me that Sean Manaea could be a player the Pirates obtain on a multi-year deal as a starting pitcher. So I'm starting to think the way I don't know if you're big on vocabulary, Sully, when you're watching these managers and general managers talk and everything. But once you're obviously with me just covering one team, you start to notice differences in how they're talking. Mm-hmm. Oh, we want to add to this team in 2023. They never said that last year. Oh, we want to increase payroll. Oh, we want to add a starting pitcher. We want to add here at first base again. We want to bring back Miguel Andujar. So far, they've done everything they've said that they were going to do so far on the list, and they have more things on the list. If they do those things, I'm not going to try to trick Pirates fans into saying we're going to fight for a wild card spot, but you're definitely going to see it and feel differently about this team in 2023 because the Pirates are going to be forced into it.
Yeah.
They're going to literally be forced into it by the talent they have coming up, which is both a good and bad thing to have because it shouldn't be a thing.
They reluctantly will improve their team. Well, look, it is never reluctant for me to ask Ethan Smith to join the podcast. Ethan, tell people where they can find you.
Well, you could find me on Twitter at MVP underscore Ethan in that wonderful lower third that Sully mentioned earlier. You can also follow me on Twitter at Locked On Pirates. And of course, if you're listening to Locked On MLB, wherever you're listening to it, well, guess what? Just put Locked On Pirates in the search tab and you'll probably find it on Google Play, Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. You know, it's everywhere. So we're everywhere and we're still popping out 5 days a week until the end of this month. So tune in. It's going to be fun.
Yep, and you can follow us on Twitter at Lockdown MLB Pod, same handle for Graham. I'm your pal Sully, I'm at Sully Baseball Pod Instagram. Talk about the who may be forced to do that thing they've been reluctant to do all these years, and is play their best players. That's Ethan Smith of Lockdown Pirates. My name is Paul Francis Sully. I'm the host of Please Call Me Sully.